Church, turning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. We began, actually last year, we began a series in the second half of the year on looking at the Sermon on the Mount, some of the teaching of Jesus, some of the most practical teaching that there is in the Christian faith is found in the Sermon on the Mount. And we've been looking at each of these little chunks, and we're picking it up again, talking about kingdom living. Sue, if you're able to put me up on the screen, that would be wonderful. There we are. And we're going to look at this first passage in chapter 7 today about judging. And so if you have your Bible, you can follow along or you can look on the screen as well. So here's what the Bible says. Here's what Jesus says. Do not judge or you too will be judged. For in the same way that you judge others, you'll be judged. And with the measure you use, it'll be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. This is such a big point right here. It's so much easier for us to see other people's issues than it is our own, yes? The bad news is other people look at you in the same way and go, they see all of my issues. People, like you folks today, are looking at him going, I see that. And you see my issues better than I see my own. And Jesus is saying, that's not a good thing. We're called hypocrites when we do that. Tiger Woods. Do you know this boy? This gentleman? A little bit of issues this year, correct? And very, very interesting. In a number of different news sources, it talks about the potential of what he has done. And he's been caught being unfaithful to his wife, and lots of ladies have come forward saying that they were one of these ladies. But his girlfriend from high school is reported as saying this. Look at this. Long before he made tabloid or even sports page headlines, Tiger Woods was devastated by his own father's philandering, according to his high school sweetheart. Dina Parr, who he dated during high school and into his freshman year of college, exclusively tells E! News that Woods would call her from the road during the summer to talk about his parents' relationship. He would just call crying and say, my dad is with another woman. And that would be all he could say, she says. He would be so upset, and so I just tried to be there for him and to listen to him. He loved his father, and I know that that was the one thing about his dad that he could never get over. So yeah, now look at this. This is from a girl who I don't think is a follower of Jesus. So yeah, it's interesting that it turned out that he's doing the same thing. It's almost like Tiger Woods judged his father for his unfaithfulness to Tiger's mother, and now the very same thing is happening with him. I can't prove that to you, I'm just speculating, but his girlfriend, his former girlfriend, certainly thought that that was the case. In the Christian realm, we've had terrible stories of Christian leaders over the years. And one of the saddest stories in our Christian history is about Jimmy Swaggart, who was, at one point, was the top dog, if you can use that phrase, of all the Christian ministries on planet Earth. Jimmy Swaggart's was the largest ministry on planet Earth, probably the most effective ministry for a number of years. However, as you look behind the scenes, it would appear that one of the issues that, or one of the things that was difficult for Jimmy was when other people began to have some sort of favoritism, and when other ministries began to sort of go up, it would appear that he was uncomfortable with that. And so when Jim Baker from the PTL Club, when it became known to the executive of the Assemblies of God in America that Jim Baker had an affair, that was sort of kept covered by the denomination. And discipline was beginning to happen behind the scenes. Jimmy Swaggart heard about that, and he was the one who called a press conference. He was the one who exposed what was happening to Jim Baker. And it's like, as Christine said, when we sow into other people, we are going to reap those kind of things, because that's one of the primary teachings of the Bible, is what you sow is what you're going to be reaping. Not a may, is what you're going to reap. And it would appear that Jimmy Swaggart sort of went past that. And there was another gentleman, I can't remember his name, but he was a pastor of the largest Pentecostal church in, I think, Gorman. Marvin Gorman was his name, pastor of the largest Pentecostal church in New Orleans. Jimmy Swaggart's church was in the state capital of Baton Rouge in Louisiana. And another church is starting to get large. And Jimmy Swaggart apparently was uncomfortable with that and hired two private investigators to follow the pastor and see if there was any dirt. And sure enough, they found out that this gentleman was having an affair with one of the ladies in the church and exposed the brother. Well, this pastor got very upset about that because he was disciplined far more than he thought he should have been. His church was taken away from him. His ordination papers were pulled for 2 years. And so he turned around and hired two people to follow Jimmy Swaggart around. What you sow is what you're going to reap. And the very same thing happened about 6 months later. These gentlemen followed Jimmy Swaggart or saw Jimmy Swaggart going into a motel room and then saw a prostitute coming in. And had their cameras with them, took photographs. It happened again the next week. And the rest is history. When we judge, this is not a good thing. And Jesus in his teaching is very, very strong. In fact, he calls the people that he's talking to, which, remember, he started the Sermon on the Mount by speaking to his 12. Not just to his 12, but to a multitude of followers came. And so Jesus would say to you and me, we have to be really, really careful when it comes to judging other people. Now, I gave a really long talk at the pastor's conference on this exact topic, and I was focusing more on some other passages, but this morning we're going to focus on this passage in the book of of Matthew. So, next slide. Here's some rules if you want to be a judge. Any of you ever wanted to be a judge, Supreme Court judge, any of that kind of stuff? We have a former Supreme Court judge in New York State, Ralph Meisner, that's a friend of our ministry. And I've asked him a whole bunch of stories, like, how does this work and all this kind of stuff. And he goes, it's not an easy job. It's not easy to be listening and to try to discern from all the possibilities what actually is truth and what's not truth. And he did find it much easier to make those wise decisions when he became, when he learned how to hear the Holy Spirit quite a little bit better. He was able to get discernment and see past things. But there are some rules in the Bible. So Jesus said, if you want to be a judge, and we're not talking about you being in the Supreme Court right now. We're talking about you making opinions about other people, about the person that you work with, about your spouse, about your children, about your parents, about the government of Canada, about another government, about political parties, about manufacturers of cars, or refrigerators. Life goes on. If you want to be a judge, here are the rules. Number one, don't. So number one basically says, if you want to do this, get ready for all sorts of judging to come back at you. And we're going to have a ministry time in a few moments because most of us, in fact, every single person in this room has been slimed by other people's judgments. Did you know that? In the same way that you've been judging other people have been judging you. And so we're going to have a time just to cleanse ourselves this morning. And when we did this with the pastors, I tell you, I have not seen so many pastors have deliverance. It was quite fun actually watching pastors, different kind of things happening. It was quite interesting. Number two rule, Sue, back up again. Number two rule is be very, very careful how you judge. Because the Bible says that in the very same way that you measure, it's going to come back to you. So if you judge a little bit, it's going to come back more. If you judge a lot, it's going to come back a lot. If you judge with bitterness, it's going to be coming back even worse. Whatever measure you use to judge, it's going to come back to you. The third thing is you have to be careful about a conflict of interest. This is one of the big things in our society is with anyone in a place of leadership is this whole area of conflict of interest. We have to be very, very careful. Like government leaders, for example, Paul Martin, our former prime minister, used to own Canada Steamship Lines, which is one of the biggest corporations in Canada. Almost all the freighters that go through the Great Lakes and taking grain and all those products are his company. And when he became the prime minister, in fact, when he became a member of parliament, he had to do something like every other member of parliament is supposed to do, which is to declare all of the companies that you're a part of, all the board of directors that you're a part of, is to make that very public and to now make a choice. I'm not going to be involved in the day-to-day running of those things while I take public office. Does that make sense? And so he didn't have issues in that area, but we have had prime ministers in the past where people have pointed the finger. In America, Americans have been very upset at the former Vice President Dick Cheney because his company is the very company that has been providing for all of the resources and all the background for the armed forces in the Middle East, in Afghanistan and Iraq. And his company is making billions of dollars. And people have been saying, why did your company get that contract? And he goes, well, I didn't have anything to do with it. Other people chose it. And it was like, that's probably true. And yet there was just this appearance of conflict of interest. And so that's why Vice President Dick Cheney had so much hassle in America and why so many people were at him, was this conflict of interest. And Jesus says for you and me as followers, be very careful of your own conflict of interest, that you have issues. Look at your friend and say, I have some issues. I have issues that leak out of me. Can you say that? Every single one of us is not who we're supposed to be yet. We're still in process, aren't we? Sandra and I celebrated our 28th wedding anniversary yesterday, which was very, very good. Hey, woo-hoo. Sandra likes to sleep in on a Saturday morning, and instead of doing that, we got up early, and we took our son and daughter-in-law. They wanted to go strawberry picking, and so we went up to Markham and to Whittemore Farms or something like that, and we're out in the strawberry patch while it's raining, and we're realizing this maybe wasn't the best idea to do this, but anyways, we picked strawberries and, you know, all that kind of stuff, and went into the little marketplace and spent too much money for the things that are overpriced and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So that's how, then we came back and I watched football for the rest of the day. So that was my kind of vacation. Not vacation, my kind of anniversary. It was very, very good. What was my point? My point. I remember my point. Sorry. By the way, England lost. Bless the Germans, but England lost. So, German background? God bless you. God bless you. You can give your repentance offering later in the day. What was my point? My point is that Sandra and I have been married for 28 years. We courted for 3 years. Sandra knows that Steve Long still has many issues. Many issues. If I gave Sandra the microphone, she would begin to tell you. I could say a few of Sandra's, but time just doesn't allow that this morning. But isn't that the truth? If you had any of your best friends, stand up, could they not say some things about you? If you had your boss stand up, if you had your children stand up, I can remember having to sit down with both of our boys the first time they went to an encounter. And an encounter, for those of you that are newcomers, is a time where we focus on the benefits of the cross. What did Jesus do for us? In the sense of forgiveness is now possible, deliverance is possible, healing our heart is possible, and you're encouraged to be very vulnerable. And I can remember talking to my boys the first time they're about to go on an encounter and saying, boys, I give you absolute permission to tell everyone how bad your dad was. And I needed to do that because they can't be holding stuff in. They need to be talking about the hurt and the pain of how Sandra and I have hurt them and said things and done things that have disappointed them. And the truth is that every single one of us do those things. And Jesus says, how dare you? He says, you're a hypocrite if you point out the faults of other people while you have the very same kind of issues. And the analogy that Jesus gave was a toothpick and a 2x4. That's the analogy that Jesus is giving. So we have to be very, very careful. Number four is learn to be aware of what's going on inside you. Other people know what's going on inside you. And so before we begin to judge, it's just take a step back and go, okay, Holy Spirit, the reason that I'm a little bit angry here is probably because, Holy Spirit, why? And just let the Holy Spirit begin to speak to you about your issues. So, for example, I am getting much better, but occasionally when I'm driving, people don't like my driving. I'm a good driver, except when Sandra's in the car. Is that not true, Sandra? Sandra and I sort of battle of who's the better driver and all this kind of stuff. It's one of our... Sandra closes her eyes. Her feet are always on that imaginary brake. I don't know if you... If any of you have ever been in someone else's car and your foot hits that imaginary brake. But the truth is that if something's happening on the road and I'm starting to get a little, what's going on here, why they do that, they're not the problem, are they? If I'm feeling anger, if I'm feeling disruption in my spirit, if I'm feeling any kind of bitterness, Steve Long is the problem. And what I need to be doing is saying, Holy Spirit, what in my past that's unhealed, that's not been forgiven, what vows have I made, what judgments have I made? And that's the escape route, folks. When we go through the inner heart looking back and saying, Holy Spirit, why am I feeling this way? That's when we get freedom. And when we do that, all of a sudden, we're not pointing the finger. We're not judging the other folks. And so the words of Jesus here are just wonderful, full of life. Last thing we're going to do is we're going to pray for each other this morning. So I'd like you to just to think of a time when someone has discriminated against you, has slandered you, or has grumbled against you. When you can think of one of those times, put your hand up. Now, if that's never happened, the person beside you can help. No, sir, not going to do that. Can I get you to stand up, folks? And can I get you just to match up with one other person? Find one other person. It could be your spouse. It could be your friend that's sitting beside you. It could be anyone, really. And the tall person in your little two or your little three, tall person, close your eyes. Shorter person, I'd like you to put your hand on them right now. And if it's a guy and you're praying for a guy, put your hand right on his heart. Ladies, if it's a lady and you're praying for a lady, put your hand close to her heart. I would like you just to begin to cleanse your friend from times when they have been discriminated against, when they have been slandered, when people have grumbled, when you have been the victim of other people's judging. Just be cleansing right now over that person. Just make up your own little prayer. I'm going to give you 30 seconds. For those of you that are watching on the internet right now, hopefully there's some people with you in your home, your office, wherever you are. So find someone and do exactly what we're doing here as well. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you cleanse every single one of us here from the words of other people, the looks of other people, the thoughts? When people have excluded you, they've made a judgment. You don't fit in. You're not worthy. You're not good enough. When people have spoken those kind of words over you, behind your back, in front of you, Father, we're asking for a cleansing to come from all of the effects of other people's sins against us. Spirit of God, come. Okay, I'd like you to switch now. And if you're in a group of three, the person who was just ministered to, you've got two hands, so you minister to your two friends right now. So switch around. Tall person, you now minister to the other person. And if there's three of you, you need to just pray and have two people receive right now. Pray the very same thing. Pray a cleansing. From words, from thoughts, from actions. When you have been the victim of other people's judging, when people have said things, done things, you maybe didn't even know it, but your spirit knew it. Even your physical body knew that something wrong's just happened. You're feeling heavy. You're feeling weighed down. You're feeling used. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you cleanse our physical bodies right now? Cleanse our spirit right now. Daddy, would you come? Love up on your people this morning. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Welcome your presence. Welcome your presence. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Father, we break off words in the name of Jesus. We break off especially negative words. We break off hurtful words. the pain of that comes out of your spirit, out of your body, out of your soul. Come, Holy Spirit. 10 seconds. I'd like you to look at the screen now, and this is now a personal thing. I'd like you to just figure out, is there someone that this week I've been discriminating against, I've been slandering, I've been gossiping about? Is there someone this week that you spoke against? And the probability is that it's yes. And I'd like you just to say, Father, would you forgive me for that? Just say your own little prayer to God. Father, forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for what I've done. I take back those words. I take back those thoughts. I break them up right now. Just demolish them. I make like confetti out of them. It's just like you're shredding them. We put them under our feet. We just trample and say, nullify the power of those words. Now I'd like you to go back into your twos, and I'd like you to pray for that person to protect, for protection, that they would not be making judgments this week. That when they're about to do it, they'd remember, stop, don't do this, think about it, hold on, ask the Holy Spirit to go deep in their heart, all those things that Jesus has been teaching us about. Can you do that? Start with tall person. Close your eyes. In your twos, tall person, close your eyes. And just pray protection. Ask for the Holy Spirit to, when a person is about to make a judgment, for them just to be arrested, just to be stopped by the Holy Spirit right at that moment from saying things, from thinking things, so that we don't contaminate others. We don't contaminate ourselves. Father, we release protection over every one of us in this room, even those that aren't here today, Father. We welcome your wonderful Holy Spirit to come. Father, would you guard our hearts and our minds? Guard what we think about. Guard the pain and the hurt that's happened to us, in the sense that we don't become vindictive, we don't become judgmental, we don't become bitter, we don't point the finger at others. Help us to have restraint this week. Spirit of God, come. Would you protect us this week, Father, from hurting other people, contaminating and slandering other people? 10 seconds and I'll get you to switch. Okay, tall person, open your eyes and you pray for the person or persons that are right there with you. Pray the very same things. Pray for a protection to come. That this week they would be guarding their thoughts, guarding their words. Restraint would come to them. The ability to just forgive that situation, to bless that situation, an ability, instead of cursing, to speak good, to speak life. An ability would come to your friend as you minister to them, that instead of pointing the finger, the Holy Spirit would say, but you, what about you? What about your thoughts? What about your heart? Bless the Holy Spirit to go digging in their life this week. Bless the Holy Spirit to be the gardener. I don't know if you remember reading John chapter 15, verse 1, where it talks about Jesus is the vine, we're the branches. But the chapter begins by saying that our Father is the gardener. Give the gardener permission to prune in your life, to cut things out that don't need to be there, to bring healing, to bring wholeness. Father, we welcome the ministry of your Holy Spirit in our lives this week. Spirit of God, come. Spirit of God, come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.